sit back, stand idly by, watch the heart of my nation die. Oh, not me, don't tread on me. Don't tread on my Bible, don't tread on my guts, don't you tread on my faith in God's only Son. Don't tread on me, don't tread on me. Better leave me alone, cause I wanna be free, and I damn sure fight for my liberty. I'm telling you, brother, don't tread on me. Time has come, gonna take a stand. Spread these words all across the land, from sea to sea. Don't tread on me. So tell your neighbors, tell all your friends, gonna see that eagle flying high again. You better believe, don't tread on me. Don't tread on my Bible, don't tread on my guns, don't you tread on my faith in God's only Son. Don't tread on me. Don't tread on me. Better leave me alone, cause I wanna be free, and I'll damn sure fight for my liberty. I'm telling you, brother, don't tread on me. Yeah, I'm telling you, brother, don't tread on me.
Hey, everybody, welcome back into the show. Second hour here on this Friday, October 10th, 2025 edition. Your Defending Fathers, Chuck and Randy Bishop, and Pastor Chatfield, Your Defending Fathers on the Patriot Voice Radio Network. Pastor Chatfield, I got your text message. I already announced it to the audience about Monday, whether or not we're actually going to accomplish, we're going to achieve everlasting peace in the Middle East. But before we get into your monologue lesson plan, I have a couple questions to ask you.
Okay.
Specifically in Scripture, in the Bible, what does the Bible say about the Holy Land, about Israel, about the geographical place on planet Earth that we now know as Israel, Gaza, that whole region? What does the Bible call it? What does the Bible say it was?
Okay, now I'm convinced that God gave that land to Israel. That land. Reading from Genesis chapter 1, now the Lord had said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee. And he brought him into the land. Then he three other times in the book of Genesis, he says, look this way. Look that way, look north, south, east, and west. To thee and to thy seed, I'm going to give this land. And so you say, well, can you take that? Can you take that literally? And I say, how else am I supposed to take it? Of course, I take it literally. Again, Genesis chapter 17, verse 8. God speaking to Abraham, and I will give unto thee the land, and to thy seed after thee, the land wherein thou art a stranger. All the land of Canaan for an everlasting possession, and I will be their God. As Abraham, I'm giving this to you. I'm giving it to your seed. See, our hermeneutics, my hermeneutics, is one that we take the Bible literally whenever you can. If the plain sense makes sense, seek no other sense. It's kind of a rule. God said, look at Abraham, I'm going to give you all this land to you and to your seed. So we take it, I take it, as a literal fulfillment that the land of Canaan belongs to Israel.
Okay, now on that point, you're talking Genesis. You're talking Old Testament. Jesus Christ is a long time away from that moment in history and that moment of time when God was talking to Abraham. Now, one question I got to ask you. If that's the basis of Genesis, where it all began, you know, when God said, let there be light, and there was light, okay? When it all happened, and the world was created, and he spoke those words in the very first book of the Bible, how can anyone argue or dispute that from a historical point of view, from a fact, that if you believe the Bible is a true account of God's word and what happened as a history book, because that's what this is, a history lesson, every Friday from 10 to 11 with you. We've been doing it for years. How can anybody dispute that fact?
Okay, I won't have time to explain it. I'll start it, though. They would say, Rusty, Pastor Chaffee, you misunderstand that God, yeah, originally it was land. But now, because Israel rejected their Messiah, Jesus Christ, they completely rejected him and they crucified him. The promises to God, to Israel, are now inherited to the church. And we got to understand that all figuratively, allegorically, spiritually.
We're going to continue this dialogue when we get back. Short break, a word from our sponsors. We'll be right back.
Road Trip, the Good Words Book for Success by Rick Randall is the perfect book that will change the way that you think and will positively impact your life. 123 good words, motivational, inspirational definitions, and packed with very cool poems for each word is a readable experience that you will visit time and time again. Available on Amazon Books and Barnes & Noble, Road Trip Likely to Succeed makes the perfect graduation gift. Enjoy reading Road Trip, Likely to Succeed A to Z, the Good Words Book for Success by Rick Randall.
Life is a wonderful journey, from fresh beginnings and future adventures to all the best life has to offer. Along this incredible journey, you want to safeguard what's most important to you. Hi, I'm Tristan Cole, your local Farm Bureau insurance agent, and I'm always nearby to help protect you and your loved ones along the way. Let's talk about your journey and protecting what matters most. Call me at 231-533-6489 or visit me online at TristanCole.com. We're Farm Bureau Insurance, Michigan's insurance company.
Hey everybody, it's Trucker Randy, the Yo-Yo Diet King. I have literally lost hundreds of pounds in my life. SlimFast in the 90s, Nutrisystem in 2000, South Beach, Superfoods, they all worked in the short term, only to gain it all back, plus some. Now that I'm 65, I really wanted to find a program that would increase my metabolism to burn my belly fat, bring my hormones back to my younger days without any exercising. Then I met Missy of My Pure Health Solutions. She explained how her program does exactly what I was looking for. Go to TruckerRandyHealth.com. Follow my journey with Missy and see that I dropped 22 pounds of body fat in the first 14 days without exercising and eating real foods. Again, go to TruckerRandyHealth.com and schedule a free consultation or call Missy at 269-964-4044. Let Missy change your metabolism just like she's changed mine. Do it today.
All up here in northern Michigan have heard of Curtis Gunsmithing, the little gun shop over here off Picker Lake Road in Petoskey. Mr. Tom Curtis can fix any gun you put in front of him. The Gun Doctor is a certified gunsmith. You won't find one better in the north, and you sure as heck don't have to travel out of town to go see one. Get your quality gun work done right here in your town. Curtis Gunsmithing of Petoskey. Give Tom a call today at 231-838-5571. Come see the Gun Doctor.
Life is a wonderful journey, from fresh beginnings and future adventures to all the best life has to offer. Along this incredible journey, you want to safeguard what's most important to you. Hi, I'm Tristan Cole, your local Farm Bureau insurance agent, and I'm always nearby to help protect you and your loved ones along the way. Let's talk about your journey and protecting what matters most. Call me at 231-533-6489 or visit me online at TristanCole.com. We're Farm Bureau Insurance, Michigan's insurance company.
Everybody, welcome back to the show. Second segment with Pastor Chatfield discussing Monday. Will we end up with everlasting quote-unquote peace in the Middle East, in Israel, Gaza region? I want to kind of come back with a follow-up question based on what you said. When the Jewish people rebuked Jesus as being the Messiah. They didn't believe it. They crucified him.
Let me interrupt you. The bulk of them. But just remind everybody.
No. I'm going to interrupt you. Because I don't believe it was the majority or the bulk of the Jewish people. I believe it was the leadership, the Pharisees and the Sanhedrin, who was going to lose their power, lose their statue, their stature within the community, lose their palaces, lose their paychecks. They were the ones that rebuked Jesus and wanted him to be crucified because they were fearing the loss of their power and control over the Jewish faith. And that was the people that did it. I believe a large portion of Jewish people who had known or heard about Jesus was starting to believe him even before his death on the cross.
Right. Okay. This is a nuanced subject. I'm reading from.
Well, of course it is. You and I always do this. Everything okay. We do is nuanced.
Okay. First Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 14. For you, brethren, became followers of the churches of God, which in Judea are in Christ Jesus. For you also have suffered like things of your own countrymen, even as they have of the Jews, who both killed the Lord Jesus and their own prophets. And have persecuted us, and they please not God and are contrary to all men. Now, your point was, my point was going to be, not all the Jews rejected Christ. The church was originally simply a Jewish sect. It was totally Jewish, or in a sense, Hebrew. However, in other words, they were descendants of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob.
Yes.
But... the leadership of the Jewish nation, what we call the Sanhedrin, the Pharisees and the Sadducees, they did convince the mob to ask, to scream, yell at Pontius Pilate, crucify him, crucify him. By and large, the nation of Israel is in a state of unbelief and have been. Not all, but they did, the Bible says, both kill the Lord Jesus and their own prophets. That was the message of Stephen in Acts chapter 7. Which of the prophets have you not killed?
Right.
Okay, so Israel,
every single one of them.
Israel is in a state of unbelief. Predominantly. Not totally, but predominantly. And they will be until Jesus Christ comes back. Zechariah chapter 12, verse 10. And they shall look upon him whom they have pierced, and they shall mourn for him as one mourneth for his firstborn. In other words, when Jesus Christ comes back, they're going to put their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, the Messiah. He is, and can I remind people that Jesus himself said, salvation is of the Jews. John chapter 4. He said, salvation is of the Jews. And the Bible says, in Romans, I'm flipping through the Bible now, in Romans, the Bible says, and so all Israel shall be saved. All Israel will be saved. There's coming a day when those who survive the great coming tribulation, they're all going to see Christ coming again, and the millennial kingdom of Jesus Christ will be centered in Jerusalem, and the people, the physical descendants of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the relatives of our Savior, Lord Jesus Christ, according to the flesh, is going to be centered in Israel. Yes, the land belongs to them. See, the interpretation now of some, and I'm part of this is, are you familiar with Tucker Carlson and Candace Owen, some of the things they've been saying fairly recently?
Yes.
They are almost anti-Israel now. They're pretty close.
Yep.
Anti-Israel. Now, let me say this. Israel is still the chosen nation. That does not mean that every one of them is saved. They're all born again. When they die, they go to heaven. Does not mean that. Jesus said to Nicodemus, the leader of the Jews, you must be born again. Anybody to go to heaven when they die, to be saved, you got to put your faith in Jesus Christ. That's absolutely. I do not bend down a second. Anybody says, well, they're Jewish, they're already saved. No. When I was in Israel, I had a gospel track. It was at a clerk at the motel, and I tried to hand a Jewish man a gospel track. And on the cover of my track, or the outside, it says, God loves you, and it's a picture of a cross. And he says, I don't need that. I'm Jewish. Oh, sir, you think because you're Jewish, you don't need Jesus Christ? No, you do need Jesus Christ. Absolutely. I mean, we give the gospel to the Jew. It is the power of God unto salvation, Paul writes in Romans 1:16, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. They must be saved. Now, that said, they are still a peculiar people, a nation that God has had his hand on and will always have his hand on. And so when God said to Abraham that this land, to thee and to thy seed, I'll give it, he meant that land. Now, by the way, the answer to the question, you haven't asked me yet, is everlasting peace coming to Israel? No. No, it is not. It will never come till Jesus Christ, the Prince of Peace, returns. And I don't like it when I get that phrase, everlasting peace, directly from President Trump. Oh, yep. We've got this great peace deal and everlasting peace. No, it's not. Nope. Excuse me. There is such a deep-seated hatred in the Middle East, especially of the Arabs against Israel, and to some measure, Israel against them. But mostly, it's not completely one-sided, but they do not like each other at all. And that's historic. That's centuries old.
Now, I have to interject this point, and Trump did it yesterday in his cabinet meeting when he announced this temporary ceasefire, you know, pull back the troops, release the hostages, then they release 1,952 prisoners, first 3 points of the 20-point plan. There's one component to this that led to this deal, and that is tariffs and prosperity. Because what Trump did, you remember his first foreign trip, all those countries in what, February, I think it was, March, when he went to the Middle East, he went to Saudi Arabia, he went to Qatar, he went to Yemen, he went everywhere. You remember that trip?
Right.
I believe he said to those leaders, I need your help in reconciling your differences with Israel. And the way we're going to do this is we're going to make your countries even more prosperous. We're going to make America more prosperous. And we're going to create a world market where we trade. And we don't trade equally. I'm putting tariffs on your stuff. I'm sorry. You want your products to have access to the biggest consumer market in the world, the United States of America and our territories? You're going to be hammered with tariffs. You're not going to tariff our products as much coming into your countries, and we want our products now being sold there. Here's the other thing. He said Hamas is a terrorist organization. I don't care whether or not you guys share a religion or not. They're evil, and they need to be wiped out. You need to agree. You just need to understand where we're coming from and where Israel's coming from. Okay, Mr. President. We'll think about it. We'll contemplate. We'll get back to you. Yeah. Well, you think about it hard and good, because this is the way it's going. Here's my question to you. I believe he put pressure on Netanyahu when he fired those missiles into Qatar to kill a handful of Hamas leaders that were there visiting Qatar. And it was collateral damage where some citizens of Qatar were killed. I believe one was a soldier in his family. Trump called up Netanyahu and said, what the heck are you doing? You just bombed into Qatar? Okay, that's it. Get to the Oval Office. You're going to sign this peace deal, 20-point plan my team's put together, and you're going to sign it. You're going to agree to its terms. Well, Mr. President, there's a couple of things. No, stop. You either sign it or I'm cutting off all aid to Israel. We're done. No more military devices and weaponry. No more funding. No more money. You're done. Sign it. And, oh, by the way, here's a phone. called the Prince of Qatar and publicly apologized. Did you see that in the Oval Office when he handed him the red phone and had the Prince of Qatar on the line and in the press conference made Bibi Netanyahu publicly apologize to that prince? Did you see that?
No.
Yeah, it happened. And the prince accepted the apology. That was the very first time, right after that bombing. Well, then the second visit, we have the deal, and I'm going to go to Hamas, and I'm going to tell them this. You guys either sign it, or I'm taking the leash off of Bibi Netanyahu, and the United States military may join them. We will eradicate Hamas, you, your family, your dogs, your wife, your kids. All of you will be killed. Sign it. I believe that was the way this deal was put together. May not have been that harsh, but, you know, that's the Trucker Randy's version of President Donald Trump. My question is this to you. Do we have a president now that has that kind of power, clout, influence to be able to slap countries with tariffs, embargoes? He's going to go to China. You buy another drop of oil. You buy another drop of oil from Russia. I'm putting another 100% tariff on every single thing coming into our country. We will stop people buying made in China goods, and we will start producing the goods in America. You do it, and I'm done with you. If he dries up that purchasing of oil by China and other Europe and other people, Russia loses their finances. They can't fund their military anymore. We're going to have peace between Russia and Ukraine. Here's my point. Why is it people underestimate this president's ability to threaten countries, threaten them with tariffs, embargoes, sanctions, whatever, to get them to do what he wants to do? This is a new day in America, and he's doing it, Pastor Chatfield. He's proving it to us.
Okay. Let me tell you something I think.
In the Bible, where does that mode of operandi in any way, shape, or form, from your biblical knowledge of the book, is there anything in there that talks about this type of temporary peace before the end of the world, before things happening?
Okay. Well, first of all, Daniel chapter 9, the Bible says, and he shall confirm the covenant with many for one week. And let me just jump, because I can't explain it all, I don't have time.
No, we'll continue on the other side. It's okay.
I'm convinced Daniel chapter 9 is future. It's called Daniel's 70th week. It is pretty close to the same thing as the seven-year tribulation period. What marks the beginning of Daniel's 70th week is the signing of a mass peace treaty, a huge peace treaty. But it's signed by someone who pretends to be a big supporter of Israel and brings everybody to the table, and you're going to sign it. But Matthew 24, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, the Bible says, when you therefore shall see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet stand in the holy place. In the mid part of that treaty, this person who forced everybody to the table and says, sign the peace treaty, and they're going to have a big dedication of the temple, of the recently rebuilt temple. He's going to open up and declare himself to be God and demand everybody worship him, and he's going to betray Israel. Let me explain that after the break.
Yes, that is an excellent spot to break. Good points right from the Bible. We'll continue our history lesson discussion with Pastor Chatfield. Bottom of the hour news break of hour number two. We'll be right back.
Is Michigan News Source, Michigan's leading news.